The Jets, he can do it all. He's in town. Brian, what's up?
All good, guys. Just wandering through the rain here today. What's going on?
Yeah, I know. It's not. It's our first little well, the weather, I guess, temperature-wise, is that the blast is coming this weekend. Like, you know, the Chiefs and the Patriots are going to play in, like, 1 degree at Arrowhead. That blast will eventually make its way here. I don't know why I'm telling you this stuff. You're used to cold weather. You know, this is no big deal. You probably came to Nashville to be like 70, you know, where's the 70 degrees? Well, that was last week where we had almost 70 degrees. But it's not going to be while you're here. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, that's okay, though. It was like minus 30 when we took off yesterday. it's supposed to be, I don't know what it is in your guys' temperature, but it's like 20 degrees Celsius or something tomorrow in Dallas. So, yeah, we're okay. Don't worry about us.
Yeah, last year when Willie and I were there in Winnipeg for the second round of the playoffs, I looked at Willie. I was like, why do they have so many, you know, walkways that are indoors up top? You know, all these buildings connecting each other. Then I walked outside. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm gonna go experience those walkways. They're indoors.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, do we lose Brian?
Nope, I'm here.
We couldn't hear you. Sorry, you went away.
Probably a benefit for you guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we were talking about this earlier, Brian. How do the Jets, let's get the other perspective. We were kind of throwing out there, like, is this the biggest rivalry today? Now for the Predators, because of last season in the regular season, two best teams, then they battle to game seven in round two. How do the Jets view the Predators?
Well, it's been an interesting week, guys, because on Tuesday, Vegas was in Winnipeg, and it was the first time that the Jets and Golden Knights had played since round three of the Stanley Cup playoffs last year when the Jets were eliminated in five. So it was kind of intriguing being around Bridgestone Arena this morning, and Willie, you were down there for the room. It was kind of a reverse role where going into the game on Tuesday, everybody was saying, well, it's kind of redemption for Winnipeg. Now coming into the game here today, everybody's saying, well, it's redemption again for Nashville because the Predators were knocked out by the Jets last year. So the Winnipeg goes into their bye week as well. After the game on Saturday in Dallas, they've got the week off going into All-Star. So the schedule probably couldn't have worked out much better for the teams this week because there's the extra kind of game within the game and a little bit more of a rivalry for them having these big Western Conference games compared to maybe if you were out East or playing some other teams that you don't have that history with. But there's no question that the Jets and Predators have built something here over the last couple of years that there's not a lot of love lost between the two teams. And we always see some pretty good games, so I think it's going to be just an outstanding night tonight inside Bridgestone Arena.
I don't think anybody here would send a gift basket to Dustin Byfuglien's room in Nashville. I think, you know, he kind of has that effect with the fans, but he's a big physical guy. He hasn't played a game in 2019, so he's been out of the lineup for a bit. What's going on with Dustin Byfuglien? And I know he's not playing tonight, but how long is this going to be, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's got a lower body injury right now, and we saw him prior to the game against Vegas doing some off-ice workouts. So when he went down, the time frame was at some point right around bye week / All-Star break for him to hopefully get back in the lineup. And obviously he's not on the road trip here, so he won't play tonight. He won't play against Dallas coming up on Saturday. But if everything goes according to plan, I think they're hopeful that he can be back when they resume their schedule out in Philadelphia on a road trip, or maybe a couple games into that journey there. So he's closer than what Nikolaj Ehlers is, that's for sure. But, you know, there's a great presence on the ice, and you guys know it. You were just talking about it when 33 is available to play, that he keeps everybody honest, and at some points he's kind of like the third linesman out there as well, kind of controlling the piles of players when tempers start to flare a little bit. So he is a void, but for whatever reason it's been, and I guess it shows the depth inside the organization right now, that they've been able to kind of keep this thing going here without him. Kind of what you guys were able to do without a lot of the top players that, you know, Nashville's kind of battled with the injury bug here too.
We had David Poile stop by in the second hour of the show, back in the 11 o'clock hour. He stopped by here, hung out with us at the desk, and we were talking to him about the trading deadline. From the Winnipeg perspective, and there's already been some trades, by the way. We're already seeing some kind of early trades. What do you think, Winnipeg? What you know, obviously they're not sellers, but, I mean, how active are they going to be, in your opinion? Because you know, Brian, that they're facing some challenges in the offseason. I mean, they've got, you know, how are they going to move all this money around to make it all work within the cap? So how do you think they're going to approach the deadline? Last year they went for the splash move in Stastny.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of what's got the city of Winnipeg curious right now is, will Kevin Cheveldayoff do that again and add somebody that they feel is an upgrade for a long playoff run? Now, the way Brian Little's playing right now, who, by the way, just played his 800th game in the National Hockey League on Tuesday against the Vegas Golden Knights, might be playing some of his best hockey of his career right now into his 12th season. So I don't think there's necessarily a desire for this club to make a lot of changes to their roster or additions. I think they feel right now, when you look at the success that they've had this season, that if they were to stay status quo and get Ehlers and Bufflin back into the lineup, Ben Chiarot won't play as well here tonight. So you put those three veterans back in, I think they feel the group they have is good enough to compete and contend for a Stanley Cup championship this year. But there is some intrigue with those teams that are out of it already. And, you know, from a TSN standpoint, they build the most wanted list or the guys that are most likely to move already. And there's a lot of chatter, and you kind of grab the pencil and piece of paper and try and figure out some line combinations as to where some guys might fit in if they decided to bring somebody in on a rental basis. But I think the biggest thing that you hit the nail on the head right there is, in the cap era right now, you have to manage so many of these dollars and allocate for the players who are coming up to free agency and where guys fit on bridge deals and all that kind of thing. So it's not just like you can add somebody and throw them in there and away you go. There's a lot of dollars and cents here that you have to deal with.
Brian, it's so interesting you spell that out from Winnipeg's perspective. We've been talking about a lot of the same things here. Brian Munns is with us.
Yeah.
TSN 1290. So in your mind, how well equipped, if they want to make a deal, are the Jets to do that without jeopardizing, you know, the next 2 or 3 years with this great, with this really good nucleus that they've put together?
Well, I think, Willie, you nailed it right there when you said jeopardize, because they don't want to do that. And even when the club came from Atlanta, they weren't very good. Like, that's honest. That's just the way it was. There wasn't a lot in the cupboard there, and they've been able to draft and develop. And really, they've used the Nashville model as an example so many times when they get asked about kind of the process that they've been in now into their eighth season here as to how they've been able to get players into the system and get them to spend some time in the American Hockey League, and then when they're ready to go, come up to the NHL. And that's really what the Jets have done in mirroring the Predators. And I think that's why, when you look at the standings right now, these teams are 1-2, and we're probably going to see them flip-flop a lot here before we get to the end of the regular season in early April. So I think when you take a look at what David Poile's gone through with, and, you know, he doesn't want to get rid of a lot of young players because they feel the window is now. And Kevin Cheveldayoff's kind of in that same scenario here, that there's not a lot of interest to move a Jack Roslovic or other young players, a Kyle Connor that's fit into so well of a spot now on that Scheifele and Wheeler line, that you don't want to get anybody for maybe a 2 or a 3 or a 4 month player. You know, I think they feel right now that there's enough skill in a lot of these young guys, that there's enough depth with everybody else, that you can kind of put those pieces together and it comes out to a pretty good result for you. So I honestly don't think that you're going to see any big moves here for, as you guys put, mortgaging the future for a Stanley Cup run or anything like that, because again, they feel right now they've got the team that can make enough noise here and have success if they're healthy and well-rested through a really tough time of the season.
Brian, this is a part of the thinking, at least that I have right now. It would be interesting. I just try to put myself in the shoes of Kevin Cheveldayoff and David Poile, because I think they both probably have the same mindset that you just laid out. Hey, if I have everybody, my team is as good and has a chance to win the Stanley Cup as is. And so why give up more and jeopardize maybe next year's chances and the following year's chances by going all in now? But if the other were to make a move like that, how would that affect the thinking of the opposition? Because they know that they're probably going to have to get past one another in that second round again to go where they want to go.
Yeah, at some point, we're going to spend a couple weeks together if everything goes according to plan in round one, right?
Right.
Like we were able to see a year ago. But, you know, I think you're right, Willie, that there is a little bit of a kind of what are you doing right now? What am I going to do? But in saying that again, you know, the window is open for both of these teams here for the next couple of seasons. It's not like it's kind of a one-and-done scenario where you look at, like, last year, Game 7 could have went either way. Game 6 could have went either way. And that's how close these two teams are. And you look at it again coming into a regular season matchup here in early January or mid-January now in the calendar. And, you know, I thought P.K. Subban put it best today when we talked to him inside the room. He said, nobody's in the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup in this game here tonight, but you can guarantee that it's going to feel like it as the night goes on, that, you know, the rivalry is there. And really the respect, I think, for both organizations as well, from the management to the players that have so much fun being involved in this series here. So I think it's one of those things where you get to these games, and unfortunately we only play each other four times this season, that there's some pretty good angst leading into the 7 o'clock start. And I think everybody just kind of wants to get to the game tonight. And I know Connor Hellebuck said this morning as well, he loves the atmosphere inside the arena. You don't see a lot of chants like the fans of the Predators do towards the visiting goalie anymore. Kind of takes him back to his college days. So I think that, you know, we're in for an outstanding matchup here.
My guess is they should make sure, as we sit here in the arena, and check the penalty box doors, make sure they work, because my guess is they'll probably open and closed at some point tonight.
Well, yeah, but you know what? When you take a look at the way the special teams have been and how the league's kind of going here right now, you can't afford to shoot yourself in the foot that many times, because you can lose the game on two shots, right, with the effectiveness of both power plays. So I think right now, as much as we've seen, and I remember the last couple of times that we've come into this building during the regular season, and you guys remember there, I think, when there was five or six players per side that were squished inside the penalty boxes, that I think, and it's kind of the word I used in the last answer there, is there's too much respect on the other sides of each bench here, that they're going to allow too much of that extracurricular to go because of how important these points are now in the standings.
I think it was seven aside, I think. If memory serves me correct.
No, again, if it happens, we're not going to be disappointed on the air, and you guys aren't either, because it makes for a fun game to watch. But I think the guys are probably a little smarter than maybe what we are.
Brian, enjoyed the visit as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you tonight.
All right, boys. Have a good afternoon. See you in a few hours.
All right, you do the same. Brian Munns, color commentator for the Jets on the radio side.
I guarantee you this. The Predators do not want to have a game where each team has six power plays. You take a look at that Jets power play.
No.
And the struggles of the Nashville power play are well documented. So I think if you told the Predators you could play a game where each team gets two power play chances or one, they'll take that and sign up.
We'll talk a little bit more about that and give you a chance to win Metallica tickets before we get out here this hour. You're going to want to be listening. 102.5 The Game.